Glad this light don't, yeah. This light don't come on, but it's on. I can hear. Need an instruction sheet up here to tell me when to turn the microphone on and when to turn it off. I told Clyde I have my biggest problem turning it off at the end of service, and I walk around talking to everybody. Well, I'm excited to be here this morning, as always. And it's a privilege to be able to bring the lesson to us this morning. For those young men in our audience, it does get easier as time goes on. So practice and practice and practice, and things will get easier when you are delivering a lesson. It doesn't lessen the responsibility. It's a great responsibility to teach the gospel, and we need to accept that responsibility and be busy doing it. I want to talk to us this morning about a subject that probably is the least examined in our lives, but at least it's a problem that we all have, and that's selfishness. I don't wake up every morning thinking how selfish I am, and I'm sure most of us don't. But it's been a problem from the beginning. I'm going to speak slowly, clearly, and if you will listen carefully, then maybe neither of us will miss anything, because I think this is an important part of our life that we need to consider. I don't find the word in the Bible, selfishness, but I find self-will and self-willed and own self and many of those words that pertain to our selfishness. But there are a lot of examples in the Bible of those who were self-willed. And we look around at those around us, and we see the word in action. And if we examine ourselves, we will see it in our own lives also. If you drive an automobile, if you're a licensed driver and you drive an automobile, every day you see the anger and the selfishness of the drivers on the street around you. I don't recall some place I was recently, and traffic in front of me was stopped. I couldn't do it. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything, but the driver behind me got so irate, he honked his horn, and when he found he got room to get around, he scratched off and went around me, and like I could do anything about the traffic situation. But we see this. We see all kinds of situations when we're driving. And we need to not do those kind of things. And for most part, those who are Christians don't do those things. But we see the selfishness of people around us. Now, I suppose that you're thinking, and I'm thinking, well, none of us are selfish. We're Christians. We're not selfish. Well, investigate, look around, examine yourself. We're all selfish to some degree. And we were born that way. Now, when we're babies, we get hungry. We want to eat. We don't have any concern for anybody else except we want mom to feed us. Take care of me. I'm going to cry until you take care of me and feed me. When we're about 1 year old, we have our own toys. And don't you dare play with them. They're mine. I may want yours, but you can't have mine. So it's a selfish attitude. When we're about 2 years old, we begin to talk, and we're not interested in what you have to say. All we're interested in is what we want to say. So don't you interrupt. You let me talk. When we're about 3 years old, we have a temper tantrum. And don't you try to calm me down. I want to get through with my temper. We're selfish in that respect. Now, we may not get away with that, but at least we're going to attempt it. And so on we go through life. Now, for those of us who are older, who are married or have been married, if you can reflect back upon the day you proposed to your fiance and she accepted your proposal, what was your thoughts? She's mine. Don't you dare try to interfere with this relationship, which is right and good. So sometimes our selfishness is not all bad, but in any event, it needs to be controlled. When I was convicted that I needed to obey the gospel, it was for my benefit. It was for me. I was the only one that could do anything about that. So, selfish attitude? Yeah, I think being a Christian is a selfish thing. We've got to first be convicted of our own sins before we can do anything about helping others. So, when we're forgiven of our sins, then selfish things are beginning to come to an end. Not with a pill, not automatically, because it takes practice. It takes training. It takes being in control of ourselves. When we obey the gospel, we begin to love other people. Not that we may not have loved people before, but we love them in a different light. We love people in the sense of the fact that we want them to have the same thing we have. We want them to be Christians. So then we begin to try to teach people the gospel, hopefully. And our love begins to show. But we still have a problem with selfishness. What happens in the morning when you wake up and you want to go, have to get up to go to work or go to school or whatever? You'd like to sleep over. Why? Because it satisfies me. I want to do what's good for me. I want to do what I like to do. When we go to buy a car, we want to buy our favorite car. We don't want to just buy any car. Why is that the case? Because it's what I like. It's for me. It's a selfish attitude. It's correct attitude because you don't, I mean, if you're going to spend your money, you might as well get what you like, but still, it's the selfishness in us that causes that to happen. Our clothes, we want to buy what we like. And so on it goes down through life. But where did all this begin? Well, let's think about Genesis 1. God created the heavens and the earth and all things therein. Why did he do that? Well, so he could have subjects that were subject to him. He needed those that he created to be obedient to him. Well, ultimately, he gave his son, who died on the cross for our sins, which was demonstrating his love for us. So he wasn't all selfish. It was a good selfishness in the fact that he wanted the best for us, and he gave the sacrifice for that. The most well-known story, I guess, of the Bible,
It's the one that comes to my mind if I had to think of one as being more prominent. It is in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve and their sins. The serpent wanted control over Eve. How did he go about getting it? He appealed to her selfishness. And she knew that she was not to partake of the forbidden fruit of the garden. But what did the serpent do? He says, well, that's not so. He says, if you eat that fruit, you'll be wise like God. You'll know what God knows. Well, now, who wouldn't want to do that? Eve was certainly overcome by it. So, she partook of the fruit. And things happened to her as God told her it would. Well, Adam comes along and he wants to please Eve, so he partakes of the fruit also, so he's in the same situation she is. So you see how selfishness sometimes gets us in trouble. Sometimes it's good, but for the most part, it gets us in trouble. So we want to examine ourselves and to be the type of people that we should be. But let's look at other examples in the Bible. Solomon, for example. King Solomon was given rule over Israel as a child. And God gave him everything that he asked for, and even more than what he asked for. He made him the richest man in the world. So he soon became selfish. I sometimes wonder why God hadn't blessed me with a lot of money. And I guess it's because he knows I probably would ruin me. I wouldn't have control over it. So better for me not to have a whole lot of money, maybe. It was true for King Solomon. He became selfish. He began to use his riches for everything for himself. Well, that was bad for Solomon. Maybe it was good for us, because ultimately he left us with a valuable insight to our own needs, our own physical needs, and our need for God. And he spelled it out one by one by one. And if we want to know, then we can find out without having to experience those things. And I'm glad that I was fortunate enough early in life to realize that I can learn things by watching others. I don't have to experience them myself. I know I don't have to take drugs to know what the benefits will be, because I can look around and see the benefits of other lives it's destroyed. I know I don't have to drink alcohol in order to know what the results are going to be, because I can look around and see the other people's lives it's destroyed. And when I was a young man, not a Christian, I dabbled in alcohol somewhat. But I had a brother who was an alcoholic, and I had three uncles who were alcoholics. And it dawned on me one day, what's going to keep me from being like them? And I figured it out real quickly. Don't drink this stuff, and I won't have the problem they've got. Same thing true with smoking as a young child. And I'm talking about a young child. My grandmother kept me all the time when my mother and dad was working. And my grandmother would let me do anything in the world I wanted to do. I like my grandmother. But she let me smoke too. And my dad had cigarettes. He bought cigarettes by the carton. And they were laying around the house everywhere. So I had no problem getting cigarettes. I just pick them up anywhere around the house. So I got hooked on cigarettes at a very young age. But I fortunately got off of them. And I'm proud that I did. And I can truthfully say to young people today, don't do those things. Look around you at what happens to people who do. So King Solomon learned to use those things that God had gave him for his own wishes and destructive so. Then there was King Saul. He was given a kingdom by God, and he ultimately used it for his own selfish desires also. Then God gave the kingdom to King David. And the Bible says, I have difficulty sometimes accepting this, but the Bible says it, and I know I have to accept it. It says to King David that he was a man after God's own heart. But yet he was a selfish man. And he used his kingdom for selfish reasons and was very destructive in doing so. He repented, lived with the consequences the rest of his life, and that's the thing we need to zero in on. Sin has its consequences. We can repent of our sins, but sometimes they stay with us for a lifetime. And King David was an example of that. He proved his repentance, but his household was in disturbance for the rest of his life. So let's be aware of our selfishness. Let's look around us. Let's be aware of the fact that we are selfish. Not that we can be, but that we are. Another Bible character was Simon the sorcerer. He tricked people with his magic tricks. Have you ever watched those guys? They're real convincing, aren't they? I don't understand how they do all those tricks, but they make them look real. But then when he saw the gift of the Holy Spirit being given, then he wanted that. What did he want it for? He wanted to make money with it. He wanted it for selfish reasons. I mean, he'd been tricking people all these years. Now, if he had the Holy Spirit that he could use in the manner in which he wanted to use it, it wouldn't be trickery no more. He could do these things for real. But he was called on that. And he realized his error and he repented and was convicted of his sins. So he made a change, seemingly for good. Apparently he was truly convicted of his sins and truly repented. Now, when I say truly repented, there are people who will repent, but it doesn't last very long. There was a fellow in the congregation where I worshiped at one time. I guess once a month he came forward and repented. And I'm not sure that he was thinking straight. I'm not judging the guy. Maybe he couldn't discern what he was doing. There were some who thought that was the case. And if that be the case, then God will judge that. But the fact is, when we repent, we should be sincere about it. We should. Weakness is a part of our nature also. So we can succumb to that sin again, and that doesn't mean that we shouldn't repent again. But let's try to work at those things that are our weaknesses and improve those things that are our strengths also. But where does selfishness generally, where is the greatest problem with selfishness? Where is it mostly generated from? Where does it come from the most? Well, as we see Bible characters, generally it comes from people in power. Money and power. Money generally goes with power, not always, but generally does. People who are in power have a real problem with not using that power for selfish reasons. They want to go down in history for some reason. So they want to become powerful for those reasons. Some of the reasons are not very commendable. Some of them are. We've had some presidents who were very good people, who tried to do things that were right, and who did do a lot of things that were right. And they have gone down in history for that. But for the most part, most of those presidents and other people in power have used those things for selfish reasons. We can, the people, us older folks in this congregation, can remember in our lifetime, people like Hitler, for example, a very vicious, malicious individual who rose to power and used that power totally for selfish reasons. He wanted to rule the world, and almost did, probably. But God saw different. I may have told this story before. If I have, bear with me. But in the military, I was involved in classified communications, and we had facilities that were under lock and key. Only authorized personnel to go there. Well, there was a book I found in there one day, and it was a classified book. And I started reading it, and it was about World War II. And I'm glad that I didn't get through with it. I'm glad something happened to the book. Whoever had put it there apparently removed it. But it was frightening to read. And it shows God's hand in the affairs of people. Because just little things could have gone differently, and we would have lost that war. We could have been under Hitler's control. So it makes me realize the fact that God is in control. I mean, the Bible says that, and I have to accept that, and do accept that. But things like that you read will make you realize that, yes, God is in control, because we didn't have any control over those circumstances. It was truly God's control. But you remember leaders like Mussolini, who was a vicious leader. Coming closer to our time, you remember, and most everybody here remembers Gaddafi, who just recently was killed. And, of course, King Hussein. He said president, but he was really a king. those people were vicious. All using their power and their money for selfishness. This is a process that's been repeated down through time, over and over and over again. And it will continue to be repeated. There'll be others that arise to power to use it for selfish things. And we may be the brunt of their selfishness. But God will be in control. And I've said this before in classes. A preacher that was preaching a meeting for us one time made a real impression on me in that he said, we are referred to as the Christian nation. And he says, we have a responsibility for carrying the gospel to the world. He says, if we don't fulfill that responsibility, that it may be taken away from us and given to someone else. And of course, he used Russia at the time. He said, can you visualize that Russia might be the one who take the gospel to the world? We need to fulfill our responsibility in teaching people so that we preserve our right, or at least our privilege that God has given us to preach the gospel. Well, what can we do about our selfishness? If we're truly a Christian, we will demonstrate to the world that we're unselfish. And I say truly a Christian. Can you be a Christian and not be truly a Christian? Well, you can put up a false front. And I'm sure some do. I don't know of one, but I don't want to know of one. I want to think that we're all Christians and that we're unselfish. But it's something we have to work at. I hope I'm at a passing grade, but I'm not at 100. And I don't think you're at 100 either. So we still need to improve. We need to work on our self-improvement. How do we do that? We study and study and study, which is training, training, and training. It's football season. And what's happening with the football teams around the country? They are training every day. It's like I didn't play football. I played basketball. But we trained too. And we didn't have a spare minute. It was train, train, train. Physical training. Of course, that results in mental training also. But we need to train ourselves. We need to work at training ourselves. And it's easy to become lax. I mean, you know, we come home in the evening from work and we're tired. We're hungry. We want to eat. And what do we want to do? We want to sit down in our easy chair and maybe watch TV or relax with something we hadn't been able to do all day. But we can't relax for long, or we'll lose our edge. So we need to be training. Working and training. I think Acts 2:38, as I spoke on recently, is a key passage of Scripture that we can relate to. For those of us who are Christians, we need to self-examine ourselves. Not anything wrong with us examining each other either. But we need to be careful that we don't place ourselves in jeopardy, because it may be that we need more improvement than the person we might be talking to. But examine ourselves on a daily basis and improve. But for those who are not Christians, it may be that you know what you need to do to become a Christian. But it may be the fact that you're not sure and that you need some help. And we're here to help. We can have Bible studies with you and help you understand what you need to do. But if you do know what you need to do, we're here to help you do that. You need to be baptized into Christ. And we can administer that to you so that you can be a Christian. You can begin that journey of self-improvement. You can begin that journey of becoming unselfish. And you can begin to teaching others the gospel. Have you ever heard of a person teaching someone the gospel who was not a Christian? I'm sure it's happened. I don't know of an instance where it's happened, but it would be difficult, wouldn't it? If you're not living it yourself, you're probably not going to convince someone else. So we need to first become Christians so that we can be able to teach others the gospel. So if you're a young person that needs to obey the gospel, or if you're an older person that needs to obey the gospel, get started on that journey. You need to be working at it. You need to start today. Today is the day of salvation. So as we end this service, we're going to stand and sing the song, and we're going to ask you to come forward if you need our help in any way at this point in time.